Yeah, this is Brian. And you're wrong, and here's why.
From the snowy peaks of the Rocky Mountains, through the harsh Colombian jungle, and all over the damn American South, this is Extra Life Radio.
Hey, this is Arthur Saddam of Marvel Zombies, and you're listening to Extra Life Radio.
Every freaking buddy. This is Scott Johnson, the host of Extra Life Radio. Yes, that's right. This is Extra Life Radio show number 101. 101. That's 100 plus 1. 102 minus 1. Okay, I'll stop. It is Tuesday, August 15th, 2006. And as you can tell, we're coming off of what I think was a fairly successful stint at show 100. And we're so nervous now that the show will be crap and go down the toilet slowly until we quit. We'll see. If you're new to the show, check out the archives, because that's a good place to start. And if you're old to the show, well, welcome back, and we're glad to have you here. It's always good to have all the familiar faces. We have joining us live in our chat room a whole stack of people, including a few spammers who will incur my wrath. And also, we want to mention right up front that the show is sponsored in part by YouBuyNow.com and ArcadeTown.com and Zytophone.com. Thank you to all of our sponsors, and we'll hear more from them in the middle of the show. Alrighty. I think that's all the business. Let's just introduce the fellas. Hello. Hit, hit, hello.
Click.
Let's may as well start with Clicker over there. Coming to us from theinstance.net in Florida, which is really the Wang of America. Let's start 101 off correctly with the correct description of that crappy state. Andrew. Andrew, hello.
Hi.
It's not that crappy.
How are you?
I feel bad. I shouldn't say terrible things about it. Yes, welcome to the show, Andrew. And also to his, I'm not going to say to his right because Obsidian will chide me once again. Obsidian from commissionedcomic.com and from the land of Columbia, not just a fictitious place like Atlantis. The setting.
How do we know? We've never been there.
It's the setting for the new Stargate series coming out next year.
Oh, Stargate Columbia. They jump out of the ring and get gunned down during a bad drug deal.
Yep, the pilot is all they can make, and then they're out. Obsidian, hello.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay, Scott. I'm doing fine.
That good, eh? Yeah, that's great to hear. Hey, you hit a very interesting, important milestone today. We should tell everybody about it. On commissionedcomic.com, Obsidian's wonderful comic, he hit how many strips today? Does everyone know?
Four
total strips.
It's, yeah, four strips. I'm looking to break Brian's record.
Oh!
So one more.
I was sitting over here being nice, but it's on, boy.
One more and you got him. So good luck with that. You hit 500 today, correct?
Yeah, 500 today.
Congratulations. All around. That's very cool.
Yay.
Stuff. Great news.
Okay, Brian, don't smack the monkey.
Smack the
monkey. I was
monkey.
Celebrating.
Celebrating. That voice you hear from South Carolina could only be the man who creates MissionDeep.com and the comic therein. Yes. Brian. Hello, Brian.
Yes. Hi. How's it going?
Good. Welcome to show 101. Good.
He's a serious one.
Thank you.
This is a little weird because, honestly, I'm a little stressed because 100.
Are you feeling weird?
Well, by 100, by all the feedback we got, and we got lots of it, a bunch of emails, tons of comments on the blog post, seems like it was a big hit. We had quite the little home run with show 100. So now I feel
and
pressure.
What's the problem?
Well, I feel pressure.
Well, come on, Scott. Not every show can be your best. Yeah. You've got to have a worse show sometime.
There shouldn't be any pressure because we already know we only got about 37 more in us.
Right.
We don't have to bring our A game again for another 100 shows.
Yeah.
But how many? We can totally slack off and do nothing now.
Let me ask you guys a question. How have we ever had a crap show? I don't know. I mean, what number was the crap show?
I think there was that really horrible, horrible, horrible show before all of us started being on it with you.
Worst episode ever.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Oh, there's no emoticon to express how I'm
feeling. I'm feeling, which is terrible. Well, anyway, I don't think we've had a bad one, and I'm nervous that we may one day yet have one. Maybe today.
I think we had a few people that really hated on us today. For the episode that we did about
Let's just get it over with. Let's do a crappy show today. You know what?
All right.
The show sucks.
Well, we're good so far at interrupting Brian. Brian, what were you going to say? That'll How's make it, it nice and crappy. What were you saying? You said something about what?
He said something about the angry guy that called in about our emotion show where we was all expressing our guilty.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Pleasures
and stuff. Because he was too much of a male. But, and we made him feel a little bit. Yeah. We made him feel a little bit strange.
A lot of people actually thought that was one of our best shows. So I don't know. I don't buy the whole thing.
I had fun on that show.
That show was fun. Wait. I have a flashback
to
that show.
I got to know you guys better.
Did you really?
And yeah, I discovered that I'm glad I live here in Columbia, far away from you guys.
It also would appear, by the way, that we were the little 40s thing we did apparently was super duper popular.
I agree.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
We need to do that more often, just a little bit here.
My wife liked it.
Did she? It made my wife cry to tears. She thought it was the funniest thing she'd ever heard. I've never heard her laugh.
Now,
so
wait
hard.
A minute, wait a minute. Was Excellent. She crying to tears because she was listening to the show, or did you just step out of the shower?
That was it. Number two.
No, it was number two.
It was number two?
Speaking
oh my
of,
God.
Speaking of number two, we got to hurry
Why
this show
were you
up.
Doing that in the shower anyway?
How does that go? If it's yellow,
let it mellow.
If it's
brown, flush it down.
Yeah. Flush it down. If it's red, you'll soon be dead. How was it?
You heard that on Riptide.
You know, Brian's a world-famous poet, I've heard.
Yeah. Yes, that's very nice. If it's red, then you're almost dead. But we better hurry this show up because it was red about a half hour ago.
That
concludes the poopy portion of the show. Welcome to the rest of the show. We have a lot to cover, so we're going to go quickly here because I want to get to a big topic, and that is piracy and game piracy specifically. We all have something
what do you know?
To say.
You told me. Yeah, this show is sponsored by the FBI.
Who's watching
Scott
you now?
Sold us out.
Sold you down the river, baby.
I'm telling you, man, if I ever get busted for piracy, I'm turning in bigger fish. I'm telling you right now. I'm a sellout.
Turning in the bigger fish. All right. I'm with you. It's okay.
Yeah, you're the rat.
Okay. This isn't a specific... this is just something I had to play because I think NPR has no grasp of how to describe a first-person shooter, yet they tried to.
God.
They tried to about a week ago, and it made me laugh so hard I had to pull this out. Here is their brief description of a, what's it called? A first-person shooter, an FPS. Check it out.
You have to strategically maneuver yourself through a three-dimensional maze using the controls to collect weapons and ammunition while executing precision moves to evade, trap, and corner your opponent before splattering them all over the dungeon. A detail some people find disconcerting.
Okay. They called it a dungeon, which I kind of have a problem with.
But that's sort of the adult mentality, and I'm sorry, I know you guys are old, but but yeah, sort of the adult mentality that any sort of space where a battle is held is immediately
a dungeon.
Yeah.
Why
what
is
the hell
that
are
so?
You dungeon?
Boys talking about.
I mean, I'm old. I don't think that way.
Well, the thing is stuff like that, like people who review like that bug me. There was a review in the paper this past Sunday for the game Prey.
Yeah.
And the guy who does the computer game reviews in the Sarasota paper, I don't think knows. I think Jack Thompson knows more about video games than he does.
Yeah.
Because he reviewed Prey, ripped it to shreds, and said it's one of the worst educational Native American games he's ever played.
Educational?
And I'm like, yeah. And what? I was like, I even wrote him an email and made a post on his blog going, do you even know what a game is? How did you get the gig? Reviewing games in the paper when you have no clue.
Did he come back and say, I don't know what the word gig means? I mean, this sounds like the guy's retarded.
No, he never wrote me back or anything. So, but it was like, yeah, he was like, he goes, you know, this game does a disservice to Native American people because it doesn't teach us anything about them. And I'm like, it's a game.
It actually kind of does teach
something
about them.
So there was no drinking or gambling or anything in the game?
Oh, dude. Ouch.
Okay. Well,
there was some drinking.
Hope you didn't offend any shamans.
No. There was some drinking early on in the game, as I recall. But the toward the end of the game, I mean, the whole thing of the game was actually they put this really kind of obscure minority group up on a bit of a heroic pedestal in the sense that what an odd thing to do. He wasn't your typical muscle-bound white guy. It was this cool guy who was having a hard time on the reservation, kicking some alien butt. What is wrong with that?
I don't know.
What
but
was
he
the
just,
Indian guy?
Okay,
and,
I got a question for you guys.
Friends.
Wait. The Super Friends Indian guy was the guy that grew really big, right?
Yeah.
What was his name?
His name was Sada. He would grow really big. What did he used to say?
What was his name? He had a funny name. What was his name again?
Apache Chief.
That comes to us from
Artanis from the chat room. So, yep.
That's
he would
terrible.
Smack his hands together and he would grow super
and
tall.
He became a giant Indian. What's your power? Well, I wear the freaking Apache stuff from the 1700s and I grow really big.
Well, yeah, as you can see, right up my.
You guys ever watched the Centurions?
Yeah,
you guys ever watched the Centurions part? Sure. They also had like a Native American later on in the show, and the funny thing is, the Centurions would wear these huge body armors, and the Native American guy just wore like like these leather pants, and that was it.
Yeah, so well, if this guy wants to complain, he should quit complaining about prey. He should start complaining about the village people and about Master Chief. What's his name again?
Apache Chief. Master Chief in Halo is an Indian when he takes his armor. Well, he also said in the interview, he's like, you know, this is one and many in an ongoing line of completely mindless first-person shooters.
Just
and I'm like... And I'm like, yeah, certain first-person shooters are mindless, where you just run around and shoot stuff, but a good majority of a lot of the newer ones actually have a really decent storyline now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
so
Fear
I just,
was
I read
good.
That, and I got, like, irked. So I ended up writing the guy.
Obsidian, what game did you just say was good? Did you see... Did
Fear.
You, oh, yeah.
Yeah, Fear was awesome.
Did they have Indians in it? Engines?
No, but we didn't kill people.
They have Redskins in there?
Oh, boy. We're in trouble.
Hey, I had a question for you guys about wrong reviews. You see, wrong reviews made by ignorant people are so, I don't know, they're...
it's a disservice.
They're such an epidemic that we even have those here in Colombia. Now, last Sunday, there was an article about Mario. Super Mario.
Oh,
and they
man.
Said,
Super Mario, not just Mario.
Okay,
Super
no, I mean, Mario. It was horrible. They said, you know, that his first, that the first appearance with Mario was in that pipe thing. You know, a bunch of
that pipe
bad
thing.
Obviously, they don't even know about Donkey Kong. Good Lord.
I mean, it wasn't fun. No, but you see, the funny thing is, in the pictures, they would show the whole pipe game as the first one. But then when you read the article, it was said that Jumpman and Donkey Kong. I'm like, what? Did you guys, like, did one guy do the pictures and another guy
went
the
like,
anyway, they say that Wario's first appearance was in Mario 64.
What?
What?
Like, wasn't Wario's first appearance in the Game Boy?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was the Game Boy game.
And Mario 64, when did he show up in there?
Yeah, I was like, I don't remember him in
I
Mario
played that
64.
Game all the way through and beat it twice. I don't remember
well, see,
that.
They figure you guys in Colombia don't have those games.
Yeah,
anyway.
So you can never play them.
So they just make up crap.
You know,
like,
what,
yeah,
you know what, Brian?
Mario Brothers, Mario Brothers, that's when Mario gets in a big fight with Samus.
Yeah.
And they just start making stuff up because they know no one there will ever get the game.
Cabbage. Lowe's. listen to this here. That's actually very. That's an interesting thought. I think the press is full of crap. We got a phone call from somebody who, at first, I thought was a girl. I swear you guys are going to think the same. I shouldn't have said that. I should just say, "Here's a girl's voice." Then you'd be shocked. So I'm worried. I'm worried about this guy. This isn't very long, but check it out.
Hey, Scott, Andrew, Brian, Ergio, and if I hear correctly, Mark. This is Mr. Unknown.
Ugh. He turned into a man at the end.
He just called me by my name. I will have you know, Mr. Mrs., that nobody uses my name.
He called you Dergio, I think it was. I think it was...
Whatever. My name is O or Obsidian. Thank you very much.
It's a Dergio. Someone else says we basically are in a religious experience. I had to play this as well.
Hey, Extra Life guys. This is Zach from Washington. Just wanted to say I have been doing a lot of painting in my aunt's basement recently, and Extra Life Radio on its own, funny. Extra Life Radio and your high on pain fumes is a religious experience.
So if you're sniffing paint, apparently we are a religious experience. I thought that was great. Very nice.
Well,
you know,
it's ironic.
Save me, Tom Cruise.
Because a lot of times, just before we do the show, I'm out in the garage huffing paint for about an hour.
So. Oh, nice. I'm glad to hear that. We have a quick contest.
What actually, a great example to America's youth.
We have two contests today. Our first contest, I hold in my hands. The people in the chat room can see it. At Walmart, I purchased for...
what the hell is that?
88 cents.
I'm going to say for 88 cents or something.
The name of this, it's an action figure. He's about the size of the old 12-inch G.I. Joe. See, 11.5-inch action figure with weapons and gear, it says. His The name of this hero is Hero Figure. It's awesome. He's got a couple of submachine guns.
We ain't got
guns.
All kind of money to spend on a fancy name or anything.
Yep. He's even got a little sign. You can't see it very well, but there's a little sign with a stand that you stand next to him that says action, and it points to him. So,
sweet.
Yeah,
action.
Awesome.
You know what's ironic is they have a whole series. The next one that's coming out is called Dude with a Gun. It's the one that comes out next.
What was great is they had a whole bunch of toys like this. They had like a Barbie ripoff that was like... fashion model doll. They had a
unrealistic
game. Yeah. Checker game.
Female
image. It was totally generic, but I could not resist getting a hero figure. Go ahead.
I think rumor has it, and a bunch of the people in the
chat
room.
Okay, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. Get
ready
for it.
They're clearing it up. They're saying his actual name is Walmart Jose, is what his name is.
Walmart Jose. Okay, we're doing a contest. Best artwork on mydrawings.com. Submit them to me. I will judge them. You get the action hero.
I will judge you.
You will be judged.
I will judge you.
Now, for even a better giveaway, Andrew's got a little something that we want to give away. Andrew, tell them what the folks might win.
Yep, we've got here.
We put you on the spot.
We got here the Cyber Sniper Ultimate PC Gamepad. It's actually really cool. It's like a small version of the Z-Board, just for first-person shooters. And it comes to us from FlexiGlow. It's a Hong Kong company.
Yes.
And they also make professional gaming mouse pads and optical mice. But they sent us a couple of the game pads, and they look really sweet. If I didn't already have the configurable keys on my Z-Board, this is like perfect because it's smaller. It's not a full size keyboard. Like you can keep it off to the side.
Yeah.
And actually use it for when you're playing a first person shooter.
Yes. So very excellent prize. And here is what we're going to do before the end of the show.
You have to booger out of his nose and put it in.
No, you have to fly to Colombia and wash Obsidian's feet.
Ew, dude. Dude, there's like you think
I'm waiting for you.
Bring some tough actin tenactin with you because you're gonna need it. But here's the thing: we are going to pick at random somebody in the message or the chat room tonight as we record here live. So you guys be ready for that. Nobody fall out and be lost because you may win this thing and it's very cool. So thanks for that, Andrew, and we'll check that out here in a bit.
Whoever has the most clever screen name will get picked.
Brian, you got called out. Someone went and saw Lady in the Water on your recommendation.
Right. I did too.
And they hated it. Here's what they had to say.
This message is for Brian. Brian, you said that Lady in the Water was excellent. I went and spent $7 and saw that movie. It was terrible. You were wrong. You were wrong. And by the way, we're Michiganers, not Michiganites or whatever else.
Okay, so this guy's not real happy about his $7 going completely to waste.
You know what? I back up Brian because me and April went to see it, and that movie friggin' rocked.
Yeah. I loved it.
I still haven't seen it.
Awesome. I can't help it. I guess I should have preempted that with cannot promise that if you're a freaking idiot that it would be great, but, I'm begging on you. I'm just kidding.
All right. So
everybody's entitled to their opinion.
That's true.
If it is wrong.
Everyone. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the caller, I bet you, I'm willing to put money on the table that he loved the Doom movie.
This guy?
I got a funny feeling.
Well, we'll find out.
Lay in the Water is not for everybody, but I liked it.
Obsidian, have you pirated it yet? Have you seen the movie
yet?
No,
I'm Well, you see, here's the thing. There are certain movies that Chenabel allows me to pirate and some others that she doesn't. For example, we were at this video rental where we get all these pirate movies, and I saw Miami Vice, and it was actually in very good quality. I'm like, okay, let's rent this. And no, we're going to watch it in the movies.
You're going to watch Miami Vice. You go watch the
that's
original.
Right. You got to. Well, that – oh, dude, that reminds me. I've been really loving the new channel they got on DirecTV now called Sleuth.
Good.
Have y'all seen this channel?
No. What's it about?
Sleuth.
What's it about?
It's like all these detective shows, and it's like Simon and Simon, Miami Vice, Knight Rider, The Equalizer.
Does it have your favorite one? Does it have Riptide?
Riptide? No Riptide?
Does not have Riptide, which pisses me off. But I am sending them an email. You think I'm kidding? I will put a copy of it up for you. I am sending a request to Sleuth for freaking Riptide, because I tell you, that's a great
Riptide
channel.
Riptide was a great show. I'm with Brian, actually. It like was much fun as we made of you doing all that stuff.
Riptide was on the air before Microsoft took off because Bill Gates was that guy on the show, wasn't it?
No, oh my gosh.
He looks exactly like him, though.
Oh, dude. Speaking of which, I was watching this Sleuth channel. I was watching Knight Rider.
Nerd.
And it must have been the first episode where Kit...
Geek.
It must have been near the end when he got his super duper power brakes and super pursuit mode where the car transformed and stuff.
Is that when they jumped the shark or what? Was that
when they jumped the shark? They got near the end. They totally refigured him everything, and he could like super pursuit mode, and it'd go like 200 miles an hour, and his little wings and stuff would come out.
Remember that?
The air brakes.
That was definitely a shark jump in time. That's what that was.
Yeah, they were running out of stuff. It. You guys know that intro to that show was filmed out here where I live on the Salt Flats. Kind of cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, took Kit out there and raced him out there.
Yeah, because everything happens in Utah.
That's right. Don't forget it. We invented the compact disc.
You need to go out there, Scott.
Yes?
Go out there, drive your car on the road, and then save it as a YouTube video and overlay the actual Knight Rider music on it.
I could do that. I don't think they let you race out there anymore, though. Yeah. I think they block it out.
The land of Utah, where everything is a surprise.
This is correct. Okay, moving right along. We have somebody who has asked O a question. This deals with his comic. I think it's important. O, listen very carefully to the following message.
Yeah, this is Kenny from Texas. I got a question for Ask Obsidian. Real quick question. On your website, your comic, how come that everybody on there has normal ears except for your character, in which he's got monkey ears? I just thought that was strange. Thanks a lot, guys. Keep up the good work.
Okay, inquiring minds want to know, Obsidian, why do you draw yourself with monkey ears is what his question is.
Well, the answer is pretty simple, actually.
He's got monkey hands holding that pencil, so.
Well, I'm afraid I don't have any funny answers, but if you ever shave your head and look at yourself in the mirror,
your ears stick out.
No matter how normal your ears are, it always looks like your ears stick out. I mean, it's part of being completely bald.
Yeah, that's true.
Your ears just look like they stick out.
So that's, I mean, but is that literally why you did it that way, or are you just naturally drawing things the way they, you know, you're exaggerating things the way that they are? Is it just subconscious?
Called, artistic
license.
Here's the thing. It's called a cartoon. Right? So we exaggerate.
I've heard of those. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I just draw them that way because they stick out a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Brian,
I think it's personally where he gets his martial arts fighting power is from his
ears.
Big ears. That's how he's able to levitate.
All right, Andrew, how are you disguising your voice as Brian's? I don't understand what's going on. That was a total Andrew joke.
Me and Brian have we have an agreement where so many shows he's allowed. Yeah. To That's branch right. over into my area, and I won't actually sue him.
Oh. Yeah, me and Andrew actually had like one of those big fights like they did on the Star Trek where we actually got the
gay mud wrestling. Oh, yeah, gay mud wrestling, definitely. But no, wait, actually, before you close down that question, there is another teeny tiny reason why I draw the ears that way, and it's because depending if I make them sort of perk up or droop down, I can add extra expression to the character.
I noticed that. I like that.
Oh, okay.
Like
that's
a
good point.
Yeah.
I get it.
You know, I've noticed you do that a lot.
Yeah. Perk up and droop down is not a conversation that should occur between guys.
Moving on.
I got perky ears. What can I do?
Yeah, what can you do? Okay. Somebody loved our show where we did all the old 80s like detective shows and stuff, adventure shows.
Yeah.
And somebody sent me the theme song to, the Riptide show. Someone sent me a theme song to a movie, show that we completely forgot about. It was one of my favorites. I challenge the three of you to figure out this one real quick. Here it is.
Oh, like 70s porn music. What is that?
All right, you give up? Nobody,
yeah.
Nobody knows?
What is that?
That is...
Romancing the Stone.
No. That is The Equalizer. Do you remember
The Equalizer?
Remember
that's what
that
I thought
show?
It was.
Yeah. The Equalizer.
That's
yeah,
what
that,
I almost said, but I didn't want to say it.
That was that show
said.
With that...
You almost said Riptide.
You know, someone's grandfather was like an assassin or something, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, he was older. Yeah. He was, the guy was like in
it
his
was like
late 50s
Grandpa
or
goes out there. And it was basically Murder, She Wrote with a dude.
And it comes on every afternoon on the Sleuth Channel.
Mm. Dude, is that
Brian,
a free channel?
Are you getting
is that...
any work done at all?
Did you have to, Brian? Did you have to buy that channel, or is it just there?
Yeah. They're, no, I have to buy it. They're paying me to subscribe to it. No, no. Actually, I got the extended DirecTV package, which is like an extra $2.99,
yeah.
And they give you all these crap channels that are usually crap, but you know, like you get like Boomerang and
I love Boomerang,
Sleuth, and that kind of stuff. So
yeah, I love Boomerang.
I like it. It's
Birdman. You ever watch Birdman? Not the Harvey.
$2.99.
Yeah, I may have to do that. That's like lunch. Big deal. Also, one last thing. We got something from Dean Cain, of course. Or not from
Dean
excuse me not Dean from Dean Cain about Dean Cain.
Obsidian about had a heart attack there, man.
This is a pretty good question though, so listen to this one.
What's going on, Extra Life Radio? This is Psycho Bob. I just noticed that it was Dean Cain's 40th birthday on Monday, July 31st, and I was thinking it was kind of interesting that his 40th birthday would kind of match up when you were going to be doing the 100th show. So I was wondering, what should Dean Cain give you guys as a 100th show present, and what would you give to Dean Cain in return for a 40th birthday gift? Keep it up. Love the show.
Okay, good question. I think an interview is all we would need as a gift.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, a shirtless picture of
our
himself.
That's all we need.
I would give him for his birthday. I would give him a TV
the bird
again.
You give him the bird. Oh man,
we'd bail him out of the bottom of the porn industry.
Wait, I got something for you. I got something for you. Let me look. It's in my pocket here. Hold on a second. Oh, it's a bird.
Double backflip. So wait, okay. Obsidian, what would you give him? Because you're the one I really want to hear, because you're such a Dean Cain fan.
My body. I had to give him my hot body.
Ew.
Oh.
All 5.2 inches of it? Sorry, go ahead.
I know.
Oh.
Ouch.
Ew, ow.
Well, no. I mean, actually, I think it would be disrespectful for us to even pretend that we have something to give Dean Cain.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he comes, he gives us an interview, and we are just not worthy. I mean, that's it.
That's it.
There is nothing we can give to him that he would not already have. I bet that his garage, he has a Scott Johnson, he has an O, he has an Andrew, and a Brian. He probably has plenty of them.
Yeah, what could we possibly give him? Yeah, what could we give the man who has everything, who gives us so much? Yeah.
You know what I was thinking these days? I was actually thinking this, and the thought that I was thinking this is actually pretty scary.
All right.
No, I'm... You know, I'm a huge Dean Cain fan, and, you know, I am not going to ever abandon the Cain. But I was thinking, you know, nobody ever talks about Michael Dudikoff. Whatever became of him?
Michael Dudikoff?
He just likes saying Michael Dudikoff.
Yeah, actually, it is a lot of fun. Dudikoff.
No, hold on. Who is Michael I don't know who that is.
Come on, American Ninja.
Yep. Dudikoff, yeah.
Who?
American Ninja. You know what? We could get Dean Cain.
Ninja.
We could all chip in and have Obsidian send us one of his sweater vests.
How do you
we
spell
could sign it?
How do you spell?
We could send it to Dean Cain.
But how do you spell Dudikoff?
I don't know. But sometime when I'm really sick, I duty cough.
Yeah. First I cough, then a little duty comes up.
Oh my gosh.
No, just look in IMDb for American Ninja.
American Ninja. People love the radio where people
look
stuff up.
We could just do this. I know it. You could just do this later.
1985. Oh, that guy, Michael Dudikoff. Yeah, where is he? What's he doing? Let's find out.
Yeah, and whatever became of him, nobody ever talks about
him. He was in a movie in 2002 called Quicksand. He was in a video.
All his movies are top shelf A sellers at your local Big Lots.
Yeah, Fugitive Mind, Stranded, Ablaze. Boy, that must have been good. Ablaze. Black Thunder, because Blue Thunder was already out. Ringmaster, The Silencer. These are all like accessories for weapons.
Yeah, I know. It's like all his movies are named after accessories.
Listen to this. He was in Musketeers Forever, The Shooter. Like Batman Forever. Hardball. That's not the show on CNBC, I don't think.
I had to go to the doctor once for that.
Now, the best one has to be, in 1997, he was in a video game called Soldier Boys. That's boys with B-O-Y-Z, because that's how the kids say it.
You know, what kind of video game was it?
That's terrible. He was in the Cobra TV series, spun off from the Sly Stallone movie, Cobra.
Cobra.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. But so, you see... I mean, of course, we all love the Kane, but today, it's the chance for the underdog. Michael Dudikoff, we salute you. You're never going to be the Kane, but you can at least aspire to it.
That's right. And with that idea, we will take a quick break. We are at the 30-minute mark. After all, when we come back, two very important things we're going to be talking about. The first is piracy. And what do we think about it? We've never really talked about it on this show. Do we think it's good? Do we think it's bad? What can be done to change it? Can anything be done? Will there always be piracy? That sort of stuff. And right after that, we do have a special guest coming into the show here shortly. We're going to hear again from our good friend Sasha, who just got back from QuakeCon 2006. Well, not just, but recently. And he says he's got some pretty interesting news bits for us from QuakeCon. He had a chance to sit down with John Carmack. Very cool stuff, so we'll talk to him in a moment. We'll be right back. Hey guys, as many of you know, ArcadeTown.com is one of the great sponsors of Extra Life Radio. You guys need to go check them out this week. The big game to talk about is Virtual Villagers. You can find that great game along with many, many others over at ArcadeTown.com. That's ArcadeTown.com. Go check it out. You won't be sad you did. The best part about Arcade Town is any game you're looking for, you're going to find it. Whatever genre you're interested in, guaranteed they've got it. It is really the mecca for casual gamers and people like me. So go check it out. Once again, that's ArcadeTown.com. And thanks again to them for being a sponsor of the Extra Life Radio Show. Thanks, ArcadeTown.com. Hey, everybody. How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie freaking pop? I don't know, but I don't think it's three like the owl wants us to believe. Okay, welcome back to the show, everybody. Sorry. We have so much more to talk about. Let's get to it.
Yes.
Holy poop. Okay, we're back. Hello, guys. So here's the thing. The big topic of the week before we bring Sasha in here was that of piracy and what we think of it. I have a lot of people ask that. That's why this topic came to mind. I get three or four emails a month probably saying, what's your stand on ELR on piracy? What do you believe to be the deal there? And I typically say, that might be a good topic. And so
no
here
comment.
We are. Yeah, no
from
comment.
Pirates
Leave rock. Me alone.
Arr. Here's my stand on piracy. I like it.
I think you should. I don't think I should pay for Half-Life 2. Arr. So here's the question. Obsidian, I want to talk to you first about this. Or get your views first. Because you live in a part of the world where it is not easily accessible, video games. You cannot just go out. I sound like Yoda. Easily accessible, they are not.
Talking backwards.
Yeah. I got a little dyslexia. I got a little Tom Cruise happening.
Yeah, do the voice.
Aliens are coming. Oh, wait. That's still Tom Cruise. Let me get out of that one now. No, here's the deal. You live in a place where you can't get the stuff so easy. It's not so simple for you to get the latest movie, game, song, whatever. And so a lot of times you are left with your only option, which is to, well, let's not mince words, to steal it outright over the internet. How do you see it? What's your view?
Well, okay.
Uh-oh.
I'll put it to you this way.
All right.
Every single time I go to the store, I like to go to the video game section to laugh my ass off. Why? Because you get there, and for example, they're still selling The Sims 1 at full price.
Oh my yeah. God.
That's awesome. So the game that came out in 1999, they're still selling
I'm
for
not
full
kidding.
Price.
You can still buy the original Sims 1 box at full price, and there's also Black and White. There's even System Shock. I mean, you can buy System Shock. I mean, I would actually buy these games, and I could even sell them for a pretty good
profit
price.
On, like, eBay, yeah.
Yeah, but if not for the fact that I would have to buy them at full price.
Yeah.
And so that's, like, the only games you'll get here. I mean, I did see Half-Life 2 once. It was pretty neat. I mean, it was in Spanish, though, and so I didn't buy it. That's the other thing. The little games you find here, they're in Spanish. But I saw Half-Life 2, and the funny thing is that right next to it was Half-Life 1 at the same price, full price.
You know, it's odd that you can't get like Prey or, you know, Quake 4 on the shelf, but yet you can go outside your front door, snap your fingers, and get a bag of Smack.
What is Smack?
Truly, that is true.
What is Smack, truly, by the way? I've always wondered what Smack
is. Another,
it's a cereal, Scott.
No, it's a, it's another term for cocaine.
It is? Smack is? Never heard
that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, sugar Smacks. Okay. All right, so anyway, continue your thinking.
Thing is, you can't get most of the games. It's not like, I mean, you have very, 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 very little to choose from. The few ones that you can get are old and fully priced, and even when you can find something new, it's in Spanish.
Oh,
so,
damn Spanish.
So what do I do? I mean, what can I do? It's not like I can go to the U.S. and buy a game every single time I want to play.
Yeah.
And well, I'm not just going to sit down here and not play at all.
Well, that's why you also periodically come here and, like, load up on stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, last time I went, I bought, you know, two things I needed very much. I needed Half-Life 2 and I needed Future Sport. So I bought them both.
Required?
But look, the way I see it, I mean, I download games. I'm downloading a game right now. I just closed the BitTorrent right before I came into the show. Most of the games I've played in the last year, I've just downloaded them. And here's the thing. The way I see it, they're not losing any money on me because they're not sending any games to Colombia anyway.
Yeah, I know. It's like the games aren't being shipped there to begin with, so...
So they're not losing any money with me. I mean, they're not selling anything here.
So do you think?
But that's not how they'll count it.
No, of course not. But do you think digital distribution, being able to buy this stuff cheaper, faster, and more easily over the internet, would prompt you to do that? I mean, what? For example, they say that iTunes has turned the tide of music piracy to in favor of buy to play. Because they hit the right price point.
Right.
No, I mean, generally, that's what the statistics say. It's not true across the board.
I agree.
But there's an upswing.
Well, no, I mean, I'll agree that maybe it went down a bit, but it's not going to kill piracy.
No.
Here's the way it goes.
It won't kill
it. For example, I wanted to play Half-Life 2, right? I wanted to play Half-Life 2 before I could buy it, you know, before I went over there and bought it. And so I went to Steam because as soon as I heard, you know, Half-Life 2... Yeah, over there in Texas.
Yeah, I know. Keep going.
Okay. Now... As soon as I heard, you know, it's going to be available through Steam, you can download it. I'm like, awesome. This is great. I can, you know, I can buy it online. You know, my piracy days are over. So I go to Steam, and what do you know? First of all, it only receives credit cards. It didn't receive any credit card that I would have here, and it didn't receive PayPal.
What do y'all have there?
Yeah, what do you have?
Why?
I have, like, Carter. What is it?
Like, for example, we don't have American Express.
No, okay. They have instead of MasterCard, they have Master Pedro.
Master Pedro.
Master Pedro. I was just going to say it was a piece of a Diet Coke bottle they found or something.
So, okay, now the thing is, you're selling this through the internet. You're selling this through the internet. How can you not accept PayPal? And even if you were accepting PayPal, guess what? PayPal doesn't cover Colombia.
Oh, they don't?
It's like
no,
you're completely
PayPal,
isolated against
in order for PayPal to work for you, you have to have a bank account, right?
Yeah.
And PayPal only works in certain countries, and the way that they control that is that if, you know, they have your bank, you can have a PayPal account. So I have a PayPal account, but because I have a sister that lives in the U.S., and she was kind enough to open a bank account for me.
Yeah.
But other than that, I wouldn't – I mean, people in Colombia, they can't even have PayPal. So how are we expected to even – I mean, if you're selling games online, we can't buy them either.
So, okay. So, I'm totally with you there. In fact, if they want to truly be international companies and have international business, they need to be as international as possible, and I think they're failing in many countries. The reason that if you go to Singapore and you get any game you want on the street for $1.50 is because there aren't really good other ways for people to get the things, and now they've raised a culture where that's expected. They don't ever think paying any more than that's going to be worth it. So what you end up with is people that don't really value the games because they were so slow getting their foothold. Now here, I buy every game I ever get. It's just something I do. I'm not holier than thou. I don't care. None of that stuff. I just like having the box. I like having the manual. It's my thing. The other
plus
thing,
you're filthy rich.
No, that's not true. Yeah. I would be if I quit buying so many games. Let's put it
capitalist
that way.
Capitalist American pig.
But when it comes to TV, I refuse to believe that when I pay my $49 a month for Dish Network or for DirecTV, whatever it is I have now. And I've paid that. And Stargate SG-1 aired on Friday night. And I was not home, but I paid for it. I still paid for that to be on my TV and for me to consume it. So for me to get on BitTorrent the next day...
Okay, I see what you mean.
See what I mean? When I get on BitTorrent the next day and I go to download that episode of TV that I missed, I do not consider that piracy at the in the least. It's what and I'm owed that that option after the show is aired.
Well, I feel the same way with certain things. Like one of the best TV series I've seen in a long time was a series that ran for 2 years in the UK called Spaced. It's by the same guys that did Shaun of the Dead.
Okay.
They have no plans on releasing it here. So I torrented the whole thing and burned myself the two DVDs of the 2 years of the show. I would love to buy the damn thing so I could have, you know, the movie, the show in a
box,
the
extras,
and
all the stuff
like that.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But I can't. I can't even buy, I can buy the soundtrack, the different techno music and stuff from the show, but it's like I cannot get the show. And I want to, and I'm like in the same boat with Obsidian. I want to buy it. I want to give them the money, but I can't.
Well, yeah. You know what? It happens to me with Final Fantasy VII Advent Children. I have it right here, the copy, I downloaded it, and I swear, I mean, every single time I go to the store, I go to the DVD section where all the movies are, and I check it out to see if they have it there. The day that they have it there, I will buy it. But it's not there. It's never there. And you know what the funny thing is? At the store, in the TVs that they put movies on, they always have Final Fantasy VII Advent Children showing on the TV. But they don't actually have the movie for sale.
You need to reach behind the counter and go, hey, dude, what's that? When the guy turns around, just grab the DVD and run.
And run. Yeah, there's your piracy right there. That's the ultimate.
All I
got to
say is this. You all are a bunch of thieves.
There's Brian taking the devil's advocate.
All right, all I got to say about Scott's little analogy there to, you know, to make it so that he doesn't have to go to hell for stealing something.
Yeah, how can you argue my TV thing? I'd love to hear it.
Well, I can argue the TV thing very easily. First off, you're paying for the service. You're paying for the right to be able to watch it when you want to.
See, that's
you can watch more than one channel anyway. So I mean, or
that's
two
what I was
going to
say, Brian. I was going to say you're paying for the, essentially all the shows being piped through, not to pipe through and watch it when you want. That's why you get a DVR.
When you want, with no commercials.
Well, that's what they say. That's their stand. My stand is they're dorks, and I can watch whatever I want when I want because the show aired. It's like, you know what? Let me say it this way. The people that have it right are iTunes to some degree, but also like the British show. What was that show about computer? The IT, the IT crowd.
Yeah, IT crowd.
As soon as that show started, they put it out on BitTorrent.
Yeah.
The BBC did. Now, that is getting it. Because what happens is, I can't get that show anywhere. Yep, and they know that. Right. And they're thinking to themselves, well, if this is good and people enjoy it, then how is this hurting us? And it doesn't. It does not hurt for people to BitTorrent TV. Movies before they come out, maybe that's all. I would argue that that's a far worse crime. But when it comes to TV, it was on Friday night. And now I have to pull my hair out waiting for a what do you call it?
Scott, at your age,
repeat.
Go back.
I have to wait for the repeat, and that could be 2 months away. And that's
that's not fair, is it?
That's another $80 of my paying them.
Well, Brian, well, look that at was it this awesome, way.
Well, look at it this way, okay? Look at it this way. Now, for example, movies. Normally I like to go to the movies if I think the movie is worth it. And I go to the movies a lot. I go almost every weekend because I've already told you guys how cheap it is to go to the movies here.
Yeah.
Best theater. It's
two iguanas and a duck, and you can get in to see a movie.
And they're actually having a special for two snakes and an iguana for Snakes in the Plane.
Yeah. Continue.
Okay. Now,
if you can if you can machete your way through that jungle of bad jokes, just see if you can get right through it.
I'll try. I'm going to try.
Scheisse.
But you see, here's the thing. Okay, sometimes there's a movie that I want to watch, but it takes, some movies, they premiere them there in the U.S., and they do it almost simultaneously here, and that's all good. But some movies, I don't know how they choose them. It takes over a year or something.
Yeah.
You know, American Beauty, for example, was winning an Oscar, and here we were just getting it in the movie theater.
You know what? I saw the movie, and I still don't get it.
What, no, Beauty? I mean, it's just an example, Brad. You know what an example is?
Never
mind.
Oh, zing!
That was awesome. Oh, snap. Oh, no, you didn't. That was awesome.
But yeah, so, I mean, if they're going to take, like, 2 years to bring a movie that everybody's talking about, then I download it.
Yeah.
I don't care. I mean,
so who was talking about the movie, though? Were you watching American TV? The internet? What? I'm just wondering. I'm not trying to attack him. Just asking.
No. I'm trying to get it. I'm trying to understand that, too. So how did you even know about American Beauty?
Look
what
at it this
deal?
Way, okay? Remember, like, Serenity, right?
Yeah.
We never got Serenity. I think it's going to come later on this year to the movie theaters. I already got a good copy that I downloaded of it. I've seen it several times, everything. Yeah. And, well, that's basically it. I mean, I downloaded it and everything because all you guys were talking about Serenity, and everybody knew about Serenity. And on a show like this, on my website, and on the internet, I'm just looking ignorant because I don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, I want to be in the conversation.
This brings up an interesting question, too. I mean, along with the internet, you're able to actually see things in our culture that you probably wouldn't even realize that existed before the internet. And so you feel kind of
and vice versa.
Cheated.
Left out.
And you feel kind of cheated because you can see, you know, this content that is created in this culture and you want to experience it. But they're not distributing it to
your
country.
That's right. See, all the awesome things America makes, and you're just out of reach. You want our stuff so bad because everything we make freaking rocks.
And all I got to say is, that's not fair, and you should steal it. Right, Scott?
Yeah. Oh, and that's what I do. Look at it this way. You guys start talking about TV, and you're like, I saw Lost.
Yeah.
I'm watching this. I'm watching that. I'm watching this and that. And I'm not watching anything.
Dude,
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
For the betterment of the podcast, keep pirating because we need to have you in the loop.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to pirate TV shows because there's just so much stuff I need to pirate that I can't pirate at all.
Yeah. Because we don't need you going, did you guys see Doc Ock? It was awesome. Dude, Spider-Man 3
is coming
out.
Like I said, like before we started recording the show and in between, you know, in the break, I mean, I will pirate a game and usually play, you know, sometimes up to 50% through the game, and then I'll go out and buy it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if I play like a level of it and I'm like blown away by the game, I'll buy it the minute it hits the shelves.
But if it sucks rocks, you save the money, right?
Huh?
If it sucks, then
know. Yeah, that's the thing. If it's – and see, if there was a demo for every single game that came out, that's one thing. But sometimes the game will come out, and it'll be 6 months after it's already on the shelf before they'll release a damn demo.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to talk about a little subject that's kind of like a sub-subject of this, what we're already talking about.
Does it involve
that
moves?
Is the fact that – no, it doesn't, but it could.
Damn. Yeah.
If you would like to.
Continue.
Everything
but,
goes well with
like,
boobs.
I was going to purchase – I've purchased most of my copies of Windows. Well – except for the ones that I got, because I used to go to all the conferences and stuff, and I would get copies for free from Microsoft.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Well, I really wasn't in that loop at the time, and when XP Home Edition came out, I wanted to purchase it. But I upgrade or change out my hardware just about every 3 months.
Yeah.
And when I started reading about all this activation crap they were going to have with it, and all the, you know, it was going to be a pain. And so I decided to get the Corporate Edition, which was a hacked version, and I went ahead and got it. I would not have done that if they had not done all of that crap with the activation.
Yep.
Same with games. I will almost always go and download the CD crack because if I have a game that I have to play that has to be in the CD-ROM drive, that pisses me off.
Well, the same, Brian, it's a good thing you bring that up.
And that's not fair.
You know, Bryce, I've noticed, Brian, that a lot of things piss you off.
I do the same. Yeah. I do the same thing, Brian.
Yeah.
Like when I buy a game, after I do a full install on the game, I'll go and get the CD crack just so I can leave the CD in my case on the bookshelf behind me and I don't have to keep pulling the damn thing out to play the game.
They've pushed me to piracy.
No, they have.
These things
You're right about that.
Because if they hadn't, if there was no activation crap, and you know, I had to call Microsoft, and I've had to do that before on other people's computers,
pain in the
butt,
call
in, reactivate crap.
That's why
and that
you know what you
pain
need.
In the butt.
Yeah. You know what you need, Brian. You need a copy of XP Corporate Edition that is not hardware specific, which is I think I have four of those.
Yeah, that's what I have. And that, but like I said,
Why don't you send me one, Andrew? Because I am sick and tired of my Windows reminding me every 5 minutes that – here's the fun part. It tells me that I might be a victim of piracy.
Oh,
at least my computer has the decency of not assuming that I stole it. It assumes
that
maybe somebody else sold me a pirate copy.
You know what? That really bugs me too. Oh, wait a minute. I use OS X. Sorry, I'm not having any of those problems. Continue.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello?
You had to buy it too, Scott.
Yeah, but so what? It was cheap.
Well, see, if...
It's not like Macs are free. They're actually pretty expensive.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Look, I had to throw out a little thing. Okay,
Whatever is what you say when you're losing.
We'll have to save more... Obviously, this topic could go on for days, but we're going to have to save the rest for later because we need to bring in our good buddy Sasha and talk
Sasha
a little bit
time.
About QuakeCon. We still have a crappy movie of the week to do, so let's get Sasha in here. Andrew, do you have him in? Or are you calling
Click.
Him now? Okay, I'm gonna put us on hold. Hang on. Hey, are you guys as big a Superman freak as I am? Yeah, maybe not. I'm totally into it, though. Over at youbuynow.com, you can't miss an amazing action figure set that features some of the greatest Superman figures of its long lifespan, of the long lifespan of Superman. There are four different 6-inch scale versions of Superman, including Superman for Tomorrow figure, the first appearance of Superman, all kinds of cool stuff. My favorite, I think, is this middle one with a stand. I don't know, maybe they all have a stand. But anyway, set is packaged in 4-color box with a full-size 48-page comic book, compiling material from Action Comics number 1, Superman's second series number 7, and Amazing World of Superman, only $36.99, and using the Extra Life code, you can save 10% off of that. Thanks again, You Buy Now, for being such a great sponsor of Extra Life Radio. Okay, everybody, joining us in the conference today is Sasha. Sasha, how are you, buddy?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
We haven't had you on since show 40, 30 something. It's been a long time.
That's like he's waiting for
Scott hasn't had you.
No. But I will say
he
this.
You.
Now, what's cool is Sasha lives in Texas and he has a lot of exposure to what is really quite the thriving game development that's been down there really for the last 15 years or so. And one thing he does every year is he attends the QuakeCon conference there in Dallas. And you went this year, correct? How did it go?
This is the fifth QuakeCon I went to. Actually, this year I wasn't sure if I was going to go, but I decided in the last minute, I was like, you know, I got to go.
Yeah. So you actually had a chance to sit down with John Carmack. What was that like?
It was great. I mean, it wasn't something I planned. I just happened to be at the right time, right place. It's the first time I actually got to see him in person, and... He was just kind of hanging out with some people at Quake Wars, the new game that it is sponsoring with Splash Damage, one of the mod teams. He was just talking about the game and introduced myself. And actually, he's a very down-to-earth guy, kind of guy. I mean, we started talking about some of the things that I read up a little bit about, like the mega texture technology and... It's pretty interesting. I mean, he always has something new going on.
Now, did he make any indications or any rumblings about what he might be working on now, like a new game, a new engine? There's talk they're going to do a whole new IP, a whole new property from id coming.
There's a whole new IP in the works right now. They haven't really disclosed any information, but it's going to be completely different from anything they've done in the past.
Oh, they're
going
to make a My Little Pony game using the Doom 3 engine.
No, hold on, though. Right. So this is not going to be... There's not going to be any Quake connection. There's not going to be any Doom connection.
That's right. I hope they don't go the way of Rockstar making table tennis games after GTA.
That was a fun game, though. I got to give them credit for that. But the point is that this excites me because, you know, technically they're able to accomplish some pretty amazing things. But I have no idea what it would be. I don't have any guess about what kind of game they're going to make.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has the technology part done.
He has the technology. We have rebuilt him.
He has the technology. That's right. Yes, he has come from the future. He has been working on cell phone games for a while now. Oh. In fact,
wasn't that what Romero was doing?
Romero was selling cell phones out of his trunk. That's what he was doing.
That's right.
Hold on, I got a question about that. I actually emailed Romero not long ago. He turned down our offer to be on the show, but
else is he doing?
But I got a question about it though. Does he attend QuakeCon, or is he nowhere to be seen at these things?
No, Yeah, in fact, I don't think Romero has any kind of a good relationship left after Daikatana. In fact, I think John Carmack in his keynote address, I think he referred to John Romero in something along the lines, when I was working on Doom with my assistant.
Oh.
And, you know, he really kind of... kicked him in the knees there, but I think we all knew he was referring to Romero, which incidentally I think Romero started knowing more about some of the things early on. But of course, Carmack surpassed him.
See, they had a big falling out because once they had a barbecue and Romero pushed Carmack out of a chair and went owned and then ran off, and that was like the end of their friendship.
He said Pajon. You know what? One more connection to Utah here real quick. Romero lived here for a period of time.
They ran him out on a rail.
Right up the road from Scott.
It's true.
Unreal.
It's absolutely true. He's actually kind of nice to talk to on an email, but I know that there's kind of a falling out. Id Software is such a juggernaut, and that must be ugly to have that kind
of... Well, you know, it's a tough business. I mean, if you guys just notice, there's another guy there... Adrian Carmack, no relation to John Carmack, but he recently left Id about a year ago after a bitter debate with them over ownership in the company. I mean, he was, I think he had something like 41% ownership in the company,
wow.
and they took on some more people to own the company. I guess the share, of course, got smaller. I don't know. In fact, it's kind of sad. After 15 years of working with Id, you know, he left kind of bitter. So
yeah,
it's
he's been
business.
There since the beginning, as I recall. He was there since
day one.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. He was one of the original Id employees. That's right. I mean, and I highly recommend the book, The Masters of Doom. I've read it. It's a great little book about Id and just first-person shooter genre. So if you guys want to look it up on Amazon.
That's one. That's actually one I've been wanting to get. Now, I have one more question before
I might download it.
Yes, you might want to download that.
It's a very good read.
What's cool also is the first Quake game, most of all the monsters in the first Quake game were all out of Call of Cthulhu. One of the guys that actually worked to create the first Quake game was one of the guys who actually created the pen and paper Call of Cthulhu role-playing game.
Oh, that's cool. I'm glad they called it Shambler's, because Shambler's much easier to say than whatever the hell weird name they had originally in the Call of Cthulhu.
No, Shambler's actually is a standard monster in Call of Cthulhu.
Ah, crap.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
All I know is anything else in that book, or in those books, those Lovecraft books, are like, the Gookabajookabalickadadick came over and jumped on the thing.
Oops. Freudian flip.
Yeah, that wasn't on purpose.
You know, I won a funny contest over at QuakeCon. It was a trivia regarding Doom, and I mean, I don't know why, but I remember this from reading the book. The question was, what movie influenced the name of the game Doom, right? And you know, all these people are like, I don't know. Who's supposed to know that? I mean, Andrew? Yeah. I remembered. I was like, I started remembering the book, and I was like, oh, it's got to be The Color of Money. And the guy was like, yeah, you're right. How'd you know that?
The Color of Money?
I remember. That's right. When Tom Cruise...
it's explanation time.
Yeah, when Tom Cruise opens the little briefcase where he has that portable pool stick, I'm not a
dude,
big pool player.
Dude, you said Tom Cruise.
Yeah, and the guy asked him, what's in it? And he goes, Doom.
No way, dude.
So, I don't know, man. Really. But it was...
You know, nothing personal, Sasha, but that's kind of weak.
I know, man. I know. You know.
You thought of Andrew, though. That's important.
But it was true. I want a mouse, a wireless mouse.
So sweet. Very, very nice. Okay, I got one more question for you before we wrap this thing up. And the question is, Quake Wars, how did it look? What do you think? And what do you think players are going to think?
Well, I mean, I played Quake Wars, and it's an extension of Doom 3 engine. I mean, it looks great. I mean, Quake 4 was used for official tournaments and things like that, but kind of Quake Wars was the focal point of the whole show. I mean, it uses the mega texture technology, which means that this huge...
It means you're going to buy a new video card is what it means.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It means, like, when you frag someone, you can see the hair on their ass.
That's right. That's right. That's right. You're going to be running quad SLI on your computer or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm excited about it. I'm hoping that they come through both on the PC and the 360 end of things. It looks really good.
Did you get to see it, or did they just show something that was probably rendered in the lab?
No, it was playable on the floor. I didn't get to play it. Well, I mean, there was a huge line.
Besides, Andrew, you don't have to lie with Quake. I mean, it looks pretty good anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you liked Wolfenstein Enemy Territory, or is it Enemy Territory Wolfenstein, that kind of game, you'll love Quake Wars. I mean, it's sort of like a miniature version of Battlefield 2. Just smaller maps, looks great. It's just kind of an intense game. I think 24 players is the maximum number, but I don't know. It's a very team-oriented.
Cake skirmish?
Yeah.
Cake?
Very team-oriented, yeah.
So their new intellectual property will be like Quaker Wars, and it'll be like all the it'll be like Barbara Bush on the front of the Quaker Oats can.
Stop! Please stop, man.
And they'll make it right the road from Scott.
All right. Well, Sasha, I can't thank you enough for hopping in and giving us kind of the rundown of the show.
Thanks,
it sounds
guys.
Awesome. It's very, very cool.
Appreciate it. I hope one of you gets to come to Dallas next August. You know, check out QuakeCon.
That would be
it's
way
a
cool.
Event,
if so. I ever do,
got an invitation.
Yeah,
are you sending me plane tickets?
Dude, if I ever get down there, the first guy I'm looking for. So watch for me. I'm the skinny dork in the corner who looks old.
All right.
Skinny.
All right, you guys, we have to... It's hammer time. Just kidding. It's movie time. We're going to do
There's no shame in hammer time.
No, there's not. There's no shame in any of that. But hammer there time. Is shame in crappy movies of the week.
It's time for Extra Life Radio's Crappy Movie of the Week.
All right, time again for this week's Extra Life Radio Crappy Movie of the Week, and the title is a little strange. Andrew, you want to tell us about this movie?
The movie is called Your Hunter from the Future.
Hunter from the... This is not just... I mean, do you think Dean Cain and Core
hung out? Was
it
that Terminator?
No, this came out in 1983. Yor is an extremely blonde prehistoric warrior comes to question his...
Wait. An extremely blonde?
Yes.
When is that, when is that a way to describe a hero?
I don't know.
Comes to question his origins, particularly with regard to a mysterious medallion he wears. When he learns of a desert goddess who supposedly wears the same medallion, he decides that he must find her. Along the way, he encounters ape men, dinosaurs, and a futuristic alien society.
I love that. You know what? I don't know anybody that was born with a mysterious medallion.
The one didn't have it removed.
Because it happens a lot.
If you're Jewish, they cut that off.
Oh.
You know what? Come to think of it, I don't know anybody that's extremely blonde. You know?
I don't either.
Except
most
your...
people I know are moderately blonde or, you know...
Pretty blonde,
You know they're okay. You know they're enough blonde, but extremely blonde.
Yes. Well, from this this first clip, we get to learn where he comes from, which is important. We need to know that right up front, and here it is.
Who are you? Where do you come from?
I'm Yor, the hunter. I come from the high mountain.
I keep calling him Core. It's Yor.
I come from the low mountain. The high mountain. Yeah.
He was.
Yeah. He was extremely blonde. They were right.
He also. He also played bikers in a few episodes of Miami Vice.
Oh my gosh! Well, it's good to see you got some work.
I think I saw that episode.
Really? Which one was that?
Was that the one with Hercules?
They had the Ferrari and the penguins.
Because they had the biker guy on the other day.
The penguins. What are they called? Flamingos. Sorry, I got that confused. My parents wouldn't let me watch Miami Vice for a long time because the intro had that lady's boobs walking by.
Yeah,
they had a problem.
Yeah, they did.
A boob walking by.
That's pretty much all it was. That and then the two butts of the two girls walking away with the bikini suits.
My mom would be like, "We are not watching this show. This is not happening in my home.
Oh, this is porn."
I'm like, "All right, I'll go to my friends and watch Three's Company. You will not go do
that."
Yeah,
and you know what you did, Mrs. Scott's mom? He grew up. He's like 50, and he didn't know what hentai was.
Yeah, because she surely knows. Listen, let me tell you something funny about my mom. She used to get so pissed if I said the word turd at the table. So if I said turd, this is exactly what she'd say to me.
She goes,
"I will not have you talking like a streetwalker trucker type."
Yeah, because that's what we're always saying. "Come here, baby, turd." I don't get it.
Wait a minute. I don't think I've ever heard. Since when can you be a streetwalker and a trucker? I mean, if you're on a truck, you can't
either got a truck or you don't.
We still give her crap about that. We still give her turd.
This movie had, I mean, high quality papier-mâché dinosaurs in it.
High quality.
We're talking top of line Japanese papier-mâché.
We're talking the top shelf. The Michael's Craft Store.
The biggest
paper mache monster.
The biggest, the best, the baddest. We have some more clips. This one's about safety, I think. Here it is.
"Why did Yor risk his life like that?"
"He did the same thing to save us, remember? A generous man does what his heart commands. It's not safe here. Let's go."
"It's not safe here. Let's go."
I love that one. That was awesome.
Here's a bit of philosophy, but holy crap, let's go.
Yeah, it's like someone's with asthma sneaking up on us. Let's get out of here.
Oh, man, I don't know why that one. I love that one. That made me hurt earlier.
That's great. I love that.
Here's the final one. This deals with, I guess this is the bad guy, I assume. Here it is.
"I am the overlord, ruler of my people, and yours too. You are completely in my power."
"Ruler of my people."
It seems like he's talking him into it.
Supposed to be in rulers of other people.
Now the overlord in the movie, this is no lie. For the people that have seen it, they understand this. The overlord, his makeup and stylings, he actually looked like the emperor from Star Wars. And he was always followed around by this dude wearing black armor who, I am not kidding, looked a lot like Darth Vader.
Oh, boy. This sounds like a movie I want to see.
But, you know, he was trying to sort of sound a lot like James Earl Jones.
Yeah, I know.
Was he as black as... Was he as blonde as Mark Hamill? Was it kind of the Mark Hamill type? Is that the whole reason?
No.
Well, it depends. Would we consider Mark Hamill to be extremely blonde?
I would.
I don't think no one is extremely blonde as Yor is.
"I wanted to go to Tashi Station and get some American beauty."
"Oh, I can't get Park first. I'm a little whiny boy."
Uncle Owen. "This R2 has a bad motivator drive."
Exactly, dude. tell Aunt Beru to make me some more freaking crappy drinks inside those
Aunt Beru,
Tupperware.
She always had that bright blue milk that they drink all the time.
Oh, that was weird. Well, bright blue milk is the way I like to end the show, and that's going to be the end of it. Thanks, guys. Thanks, everybody. And thank all you guys in the thing, in the room. Oh, we got to give away a hoo-ha. Hold on. Andrew, let's pick a random person. We got to do that real quick.
Pick a random person.
Yeah, let's pick...
Dude, that's like putting Andrew on the spot. Now whoever doesn't win can blame Andrew.
Here's what you do.
What?
Let's ask people to pick a number between 1 and 100, and we think of a number, and everybody posts a number.
Whoever's
close.
Pick a number between 1 and 100, and whoever gets closest to the number that I picked wins.
Okay. Look at them all. Gosh, good Lord.
Quick.
Oh, it's like binary code, dude.
Pick a name. Pick a name coming up.
I wish the listeners could see this. Oh, my gosh. Funny. That is crazy.
I can't even read it. It's like scrolling by so fast.
All right, just pick somebody. Who are you gonna pick?
No, wait. You know what? I'll pick it because I'm not looking at the chat room. So I'll tell you.
You
pick,
know who to pick
the sixth name from the top down.
That's a good idea.
Sixth name from the top down. 101 Akai.
And I'll have everybody know that I'm not looking at the chat room.
Three, four,
because I'm not even there.
Crazy Eagle.
Crazy Eagle.
Crazy Eagle is the winner. Crazy Eagle.
Okay, enough numbers.
I think they're still
enough numbers,
going.
People.
All right, Crazy Eagle is the winner. We don't know you from Adam, but hey, if you live in the U.S.
you got to email Scott or email me.
Yeah, send an email to either shipping address. Yeah, send an email either to myextralife@gmail.com or to theinstance@gmail.com. That way Andrew will get that one. In fact, do it there because he and I are going to coordinate that. But that's awesome. So congratulations, Crazy Eagle. There's nothing more better than an eagle who's crazy, if you have to think about it. And thanks so much to everybody else in the chat room. There's a buttload of you today. I've never seen so many numbers in my life. Holy spammerama. Anyway, gosh, I can't even think now. What are we doing? Oh, yeah. If you want to learn more about the show and check out the archives, do everything else that's fun, and check out the comic that inspired the whole mess, you can go to Extra Life at myextralife.com. You can join our forums and do all kinds of fun things. Check out the blog, blah, 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 blah. Call us on the crap line. That number is 206-203-CRAP. We have some more calls to play after this. Listen for those, including a review from Rico. He's going to start doing sci-fi reviews for us. I actually meant to do this earlier in the show, but we ran out of time, so I'm going to tack it on the end here. He's going to do science fiction reviews for us. We also have a review from a listener who reviews the new Dead Rising game for the 360. Again, that number is 206-203-CRAP. And you can email us, as always, myextralife@gmail.com. And we'll see you guys on show 102 next week. Have a good one, everyone.
Previously on Extra Life Radio.
Don't stand, don't stand, don't stand so close to me.
I have a pretty bow in my hair.
Sergio Antonieto de la Cruz, Juanito de Fatima.
He's dead in the public eye.
I did not have relations with the Colombian.
Well, you know, it's not the year of the car, it's the mileage.
So it wouldn't be Obsidian. Yeah. He's worth like 1482. Yo, yo, G, what up? Yo!
What's up?
Skizzy and the Rizzy.
Well, it means that my little partner down there is always on fire.
Dude, your mom is hot.
Ah, well, the puck's on your people as well.
Do you think we ought to just blow up now in a huge explosion of guts? He's always shooting for that, you know, with words like clitoris and vagina.
I'm going to go get soda now.
Scott Fletcher.
Holy freaking crap, I don't remember saying any of it.
Guess what? We've got 80 winners tonight.
You guys,
so you'll
them.
Have no way to point at your butt and go, this itches?
I just get a swift kick up the groin. He cracked me up wildly. Means
stop
I can...
trying to pass geography. If anybody is still listening to the podcast after that, you truly are a fan.
Hello, Extra Life Radio. This is Rico from the Treks in Sci-Fi podcast, and this is the first installment of Rico's Reviews. Each week I'm going to try to point out a lesser-known TV show or movie or book in the sci-fi and fantasy world, and something that I think every good geek out there should pay attention to. What I'm going to talk about this week is the latest two seasons of the British sci-fi TV show Doctor Who. Now, I've watched both of these seasons recently, and I gotta say, this stuff is really good. They've done a great job of updating Doctor Who. I know most people have this opinion and of the older Doctor Who that it was guys in rubber suits running around scaring a bunch of British people, but it is not like that anymore. It's sophisticated, it's witty, it's charming. They've got some really good actors playing the main leads. Christopher Eccleston did the Doctor last season and was taken over by David Tennant this year. And Billy Piper is still a companion Rose for both seasons. It's just a really fun show. It's still got sort of British sci-fi humor to it a little bit, but I'm going to play a couple seconds of a clip from the recent season with David Tennant as the Doctor just to give you a little feel for it. This is sort of humorous, so listen to this.
At last, the greatest feast of all, the Doctor.
Interesting. Sort of Absorbatrix. Absorbclon. Absorbalof.
Absorbalof, yes.
Not from Rhaxacoracophalopatorius, are you?
No, I'm not the swine. I spit on them. I was born on their twin planet.
Really? What's the twin planet of Rhaxacoracophalopatorius?
Clom.
Clom.
Clom, yes, and I'll return there victorious. Once I possess your traveling machine.
Well, that's never going to happen.
Oh, it will.
Yeah, I really like David Tennant as the Doctor. He's the current one and will be that role throughout probably for the next couple of years, I think. But I urge everyone, the one with Christopher Eccleston is out on DVD now, and the David Tennant 10th Doctor season starts on the Sci-Fi Channel here, at least in the States. at the end of September. So pay attention and keep an eye out for it. It's well worth watching. This is Rico signing off.
Now, damn it. Okay. Now, my name is Hank Hill, okay? And my son, Bobby, has been listening to your podcast. Now, I'm a little bit perturbed because we have been listening to your show, or my son has, for a while. And now we understand that you've been making fun of Margot Kidder. Now, this gal lived right down the road from me back in 1974, okay? One moment. Damn it, Bobby. Sit your ass. Quit kissing that. Damn it. Now, okay. Now, she is a wonderful actress, and she's been on that new show called Smallville. Now, she is helping that Clark Kent boy. I don't know. I got to ask Bobby, but now listen here. Now, Margot Kidder is a good gal, and I know that you just had your 100th episode, but you just got to just keep it up because quit making fun of the Margot Kidder, okay? Thank you very much. Now, I just want to have a large fry, pie, and large coffee.
Just want to say two things, Scott. It's Brandon, and to the crew. Sit in, love the comic, love what you're doing, Lord Harrington. That's friggin' awesome. And Scott, that little mini ELR, man, that was pretty scary. You made eating a packet of ketchup, like, poetic. Yeah. All right, bye.
Hey, Extra Life Radio. This is Geek Girl Kristen from the Manic Mommies. And I was calling because I'm just catching up on some shows, and I really like the show with the 80s music theme songs and the favorite 80s shows. But one of the theme songs did remind me of an incident from my past. Oh, past. A run-in with a geek, for all I know, who's listening now. When I was in college, I met a guy from the choir at Worcester Polytechnic Institute, who, when he introduced himself, he said his name, which I can't remember. It might have been Scott. So it went something like, "Hi, my name's Scott, but you can call me MacGyver." Lovely, wasn't it? Anyway, thanks for the show. And oh, while I'm here, I'm sure you were dying to remind people that shows like The Manic Mommies have been nominated for the 2006 Podcast Awards. So if your listeners want to go to podcastawards.com to vote for The Manic Mommies or the other fabulous shows from the Tripod Network or even from the New England Podcasters, that would be appreciated. Again, that's podcastawards.com. Talk to you later.
Hello, Extra Life Radio. Mein Leben der Frigo. That's all.
Hi, this is Seamus22, and this will be my review of Dead Rising, the Xbox 360 game by Capcom. For those of you who live in a cave and have no idea what Dead Rising is, let me explain it to you. Dead Rising is a game set in the Willamette Parkview Mall in the small town of Willamette, Colorado, which, by the way, is not a real place. Inside this mall, there are zombies, and you can use anything and everything as a weapon to kill them, ranging from baking ingredients to a bowling ball, from frying pans to a giant umbrella. You are given no boundaries to what you can use to stab, slice, impale, and incinerate your undead foes with. No boundaries, that is, except time. The first time through the game, you are given 72 game time hours, which is about 1 minute every 5 seconds. If you complete every task that you undertake within the allotted time that you are given for each, once 72 hours mode is completed, you are given an additional 24 hours. That is all I'm going to say about that to avoid it giving anything away. Being on the Xbox 360, of course, the game looks beautiful in high definition, allowing you to see every drop of zombified blood that you spill. The gameplay is solid, and the physics are as realistic as can be on a zombie game. But what makes this game difficult is that you're given only one save slot, and that you're only capable of saving in certain set locations. The camera is set behind you in a third-person view, which you can spin easily, enabling you to see behind you for zombies, the side of you, to see if zombies are about to jump in you, all kinds of things like that. When armed with a weapon, you can zoom to an almost first-person view over your character's shoulder, allowing you to shoot or throw your weapon of choice more accurately. What is interesting about this game is that it is treated almost as if it was an RPG. You gain experience, level up, and learn new skills and abilities, such as disembowel. I'll leave it to your imagination on that one. This game is, without a doubt, absolutely amazing. If you thought the demo was good, forget it, because this game makes it look like complete and total garbage. There is what must be over 100 things to pick up, making this game fun to play again and again. At times it can be extremely frustrating, but at other times it can be equally rewarding. I would give it 5 brains out of 5 with 2 bleeding severed thumbs up. I mean, come on, it's zombies. What more do you people want?
Salutations. This is Rafael from Warsaw, Poland. I am calling to express my outrage over the disastrous effect Extra Life Radio has on millions of people. Case in point, only a few days ago I took a 5-hour trip on train to the rural landscape of my country. Alas, every time I saw a cow or a group of cows grazing on some grass, I couldn't help but think about Brian's nose. This must stop. And of course.
Hi guys, it's Red Boy from the Red Boy Podcast. You know, I was going to do a great promo for you, not promo, but a comment, wishing a happy 100th show. I heard Scott only wanting high-quality, creative ones. Well, you've heard our show. We're not creative. So I figured I'd do anti-creative and give bad quality, too, because obviously this is a voicemail, so I guess I fart in your general direction. But happy 100 shows, guys. We love you. Later.
Hey, Scott and Extra Life Posse. This is Tommy J. And I was just wondering why every time Andrew gets a Stump Andrew question wrong, he has to complain and whine and make up some kind of lame excuse. Andrew, just take it like a man and face the fact that you don't know everything. Bye.
The Tripod Network. What's on?